Well, I'd like to welcome you to the very first episode of the Streaming Steamers, or the Steaming Streamers podcast. Myself, Mick Raines, and James House Cora, hoping to interview some of the old boys along the club, maybe do some live streaming from games, try and get a bit behind the scenes of the Albury Steamers over the season, and see how it folds out. So introducing James, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mick. Welcome yourself, you know. quite excited about this, what's going to be coming over the next few weeks.
Well, it was your idea. Like, what prompted you to come up with the idea?
Well, you know, as you do when you're lying in bed and you're scrousing through Facebook and you see a lot of rugby guys on podcasts, and a lot of shows with guys on podcasts, either about mental health or about their journeys, or, you know, other stories of rugby journeys. And, you know, Friday night sitting here with you having a beer after work, and I said, why don't we start a podcast for the Steamers? Now that I'm no longer in charge, so I've got a bit of time up my sleeve.
Are you, have you got anything in particular in mind that you'd want to see us do this year?
Well, as
the podcast, yeah.
Oh, no, it'd be just good to get it out there to a lot of, there's a lot of Steamers, ex-Steamers players all over the country probably.
All over the world, they're everywhere.
Chance to see how the Steamers are going, but now they're with technology going, and, you know, you can watch them online, but now, you know, you'll be able to get some in-depth with the Steamers, with the new current
Steamers. Yeah, I think we can... we can tick like start with the president and the coach, and maybe do a couple of sessions down at training, maybe a couple of live broadcasts from games, stuff like that.
Especially starting with, you know, a new president, a new coach.
Get their
thoughts on where the season, you know, where the season's going to go for them.
We want to hear what they're thinking, for sure.
Yeah, so that'd be a good start with them, and then we'll slowly work our way through the... I hear we've got a list of lineup full of
we've got a bit of a lineup of people we want to chat to.
Doing our podcast.
Tell us a bit about your background. How did you come to the Steamers? Like, when was that, 2011?
I arrived at the Steamers at the 2011, yeah, the end of 2011. So obviously I'm from Christchurch.
You were playing rugby there?
Yeah, playing rugby there. I've had enough of playing first division rugby there. And I was going to be
a bit of a flex there. So you're playing first division in Christchurch.
Yes.
Who with?
With Canterbury University. Look, I ain't no university student, but yes, Canterbury.
You could be.
Yeah. I am a professor. I have to have a PhD.
You're the professor. How's the professor?
But
so how long did you play for Canterbury Uni?
5 years with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what level is that? Is that a?
Well, that's first grade. So I don't know. It's the next team under the ITM team.
So it's a fair step up from Steamers, from Super, from Siru.
Yeah, fair step up, you know. So these guys actually come to training, you know. These guys ain't paid, but they still come to training, you
did,
know.
Did you play along inside any guys that went on to bigger things through Ken
Reed? Well, Ken Reed, T. Polo.
Who's T. Polo?
T. Polo ended up playing for Samoa. Samoa. We had Stevie Brett, Andy Ellis... And we were coached by...
You said there pretty quickly early, Kieran Reid. So he played for Canterbury Uni.
Yeah, so he was only young when he... Canterbury brought him down from Counties, Manukau, put him in their system.
And you played alongside him?
Yeah.
Did you teach him everything he knows?
Everything he needs to know. everything he needs to know. Like, we had a couple, like, you know, Luke Whitelock, you know, one of the Whitelock brothers, he went on and played...
Were you first grade that whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was the only prop.
But for those that don't know, House, he's not small. How big were you then? What was your playing weight?
Still probably overweight then, you know. I was in the 130s over there, you know. And then,
could have you played a higher standard?
Could have if I probably laid out of the bars and pubs. And
was the sole reason? Like, you didn't?
Probably a lazy trainer.
Lazy trainer. You're not really injury prone, are you?
No. I don't think it really get injury much. You know, I used to back the guys out that used to have weak hamstrings.
Because they used to actually run, whereas you, I don't imagine you're a runner.
They'll play for 10 minutes and out for 6 weeks.
Oh, well, 3 weeks for a hammy. Don't be too brutal. So I remember we went to a Brumbies Highlanders game, and there was about 12 people in the stand, and out of the blue, you started yelling at James Lynchies. You started yelling out, "Lynchies, you're shit." How did you know James Lynchies? Because he came over, he did give you the finger while he was warming up, but he came over after the game and had a chat and was very happy to see us. So how'd you run into him?
So James Lynchies, around about 10 and 9, he finished school.
Around about when?
About 9 and 10, 2009.
Oh, 2010, right, yeah.
So the club was sort of, not a hiding to nothing back then, but, you know, we had a couple of good coaches, but then, as rugby does.
This was Canterbury Uni.
Yeah, Canterbury Uni, sorry.
Yeah.
Players revolt, and especially at the uni anyway, so players come and go. And then we were sort of down, and then a good former All Black and a good former Sydney Uni coach, university coach, Steve Surridge, come back to New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
And he took over the coaching stocks of Canterbury Uni. And then he brought in people like Simon Forrest, you know, like a former Sydney Bears league player. So
from the North Sydney Bears?
For the North Sydney Bears, yeah.
Ah.
So, which is funny. And he, you know, brought in a couple of ex-old players, and next minute they built up a good Colts at uni. And Steve and him took, you know, Steve took the Colts that year, that Colts team into the final. And in that team, there was James Lynchies.
Ah, right.
And that team, there was Jack Wilson, who went on to play for England and New Zealand. England in 15s, England in 7s, England and New Zealand in 7s.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, and then, but we had a lot of those
So you had some guys coming through, and so that was 5 years there. Did you have much of a winning record? Did you win premierships? Did you win?
No, we didn't win many, but the Colts that year
personally, were you in any winning grand final teams?
No, we lost most of the grand finals that we went to.
Oh, really?
So my last year, 2011, it was the first time we had gone to the university had gone to the grand final in years.
That would have been huge.
Yeah, it was all these like ex-students.
Where did you play it?
We played at Christchurch Park, which is known as the home of the Crusaders, isn't it?
Yeah. So they moved from there after the earthquake, is that right?
Yeah. So that last year there, look, and I want to state, I was on 98 games, almost due for 100. I was going to be the third person to be to play 100 for the club, but obviously earthquake came in the beginning. You know, the wife and kids at that time, we were like,
So this is 2011. You've just lost a grand final.
Lost the grand final.
And you've and Kerry, your wife, she's a Albury girl.
Nah, she's a New Zealand girl.
So what brought you to Albury?
Well, because she had two aunties that lived here. So she had two aunties that lived here, and we came. And then John Black, his brother Les Black, has a member to do with our club back in...
So John Black's a former New Zealander hooker.
Yeah, former
All Black hooker.
Just before we left, we were sitting in a bar for Christmas for the university team, and I was talking to Les Black, and I said, "Oh, look, I need to talk to your brother at some point because I'm going to Albury." And he goes, "Stay here." Came back, and John Black just happened to be there for that year for Christmas. Got talking, and then, sent my details off to him, and then obviously he sent it off to the club. And
that was that?
That was it.
So,
and then on the 23rd of December, I touched down in Albury.
Oh, really? Yeah. And so 2012 was your first season, and you fell in pretty tight straight away with Bridey, Frenchy, sort of that sort of crew.
Yeah, well, you always fall in tight when you find another New Zealander. I've travelled the world, you know, and the first thing you do is meet another New Zealander, and you're just like, ka-tink. So
you've gone from a team that's lost a lot of, that hasn't been good in grand finals, to another team that hadn't won a grand final for a while in 2012.
Yeah, sort of, but...
Was it your fault?
Yeah, probably, well, you know...
Because we have other guys. We have Sam Giblin thinks he's a bit of a grand final curse.
Yeah.
But we'll talk to him about it later.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, my first, you know, like, we're not used to travelling, like, training in 40-degree heat and punching down at Albury. I, like, stepped off the plane and I was like, whoa, step back in the plane. And the lady goes, you've got to get out. I said, it's too hot out there. You get out there.
So that's 2012, and you've been around the club ever since. So 2012 to 2012 years, and you've been, if not a player, then a coach, then a general help around the club.
Yeah, like I said to people, rugby's in my blood.
It's an easy thing to get involved in, isn't it?
Yeah, like I've done it for so many years. So, you know, no matter how many people back the sport out, or how bad the, you know, the sport, the area we're in, I'm still going to love it.
Yeah.
I just love it. I love watching.
Well, that's why we're doing the podcast. Yes, so we can go watch rugby, talk about it, and, you know, like just going from there. So, so that's you and rugby.
So. What brought you to Albury then?
Oh, me? Well, it's funny because I moved here in... I'd been with the Reddies for a very long time.
And the Reddies are...
Oh, sorry, the Wagga CSU.
So did you go to uni up there?
Yeah, I went to uni up until they started charging HEX. And then HEX, when they started charging HEX, I thought, which is... I had to pay to go to uni. I thought, well, I can't pay to do this.
So you come from the same background as I do?
Yeah. I had a lot of fun at uni, but didn't really study much. And the club up there, it's a great club, and, you know, it's where all my first friendships and all that sort of stuff were made. And then we moved from there up to Cairns for a while.
Who's we?
Me and Bernadette and the family. We played in a team called the Atherton Highlanders. And
what sort of division were they in?
Yeah, they're about third grade down here. Look, it's funny, they've got guys that you'd play against, guys that end up playing for Australia. So Kay Main brothers, Jason Ramsamy, guys like that play for Queensland. But you'd also play with guys that wore no socks, and, you know, boots with steel studs were 2 inches long. Like the
old day, the old boots, eh?
So the spread of talent in the competition was immense. But it was the same thing. It was enjoyable across the board.
So is this true, just before you move on, that you scored the slowest try because it took Bernie a whole book to finally read it? And when she got to the end, she looked up and you finally crossed the line?
I did. I wish there was videos, but I took a catch in goal. I looked up and saw a prop that was fatter than me, and I thought, well, I can run around you. And somehow I made it to the other end of the field. Our coach at the time, Jared, was on crutches, and he kept pace with me the whole length of the field, running down the sideline, and I scored a length of the field try from the end goal. Matt Gobain was playing that game, so I could say I outpaced an Australian back rower, but I'm not sure that he was, you know, not...
Was he just other end of the field.
No, I think he was a long way away from where I caught the ball. And I did stumble a couple of times, and players sort of missed me as I tripped and stuff like that. But
so you moved back, you moved up to Queensland.
Moved up to Queensland, moved back to Albury, moved down to Albury.
What year was that when you moved back to Albury?
That was 2001. And we had such a, dislike for the Albury Steamers. It took me a decade to...
Is that because you're a former Reddies?
For Reddies, yeah. The Steamers used to bash us pretty heavily. And so you sort of... That was in the back of my mind. I thought, I just can't betray the Reddies. And I'd go up every year or so for a third grade game or watch the Reddies play, and I'd sort of never really put my hand up for anything the Steamers were doing. And then... we went to Queanbeyan for a few years, and I just enjoyed watching the Queanbeyan Whites play.
Yeah. Just got good quality rugby up there.
John Dent's very high quality. Yeah. And I thought I need to get back to watching rugby week in, week out. And So I went and introduced myself to Nathan Bright and Don Cameron, said I want to get involved in coaching. And they...
What's your first impression on Don Cameron?
My first impression is not as, probably not as positive as my long-term impression. So first up, he's a very, very stoic character. So he's very understated. But the more you get to know Don, the more you know that the rugby club is the Steamers is everything to him.
Yeah.
And he's a very astute rugby guy. So he was the first grade coach and I was the second grade coach from 2011 for a couple of years. And it was obvious for me that Don and Bridie and a few of the other guys around the club were trying to build something very special.
Yeah.
So I sort of stepped into that as a second grade coach and it was great. It was good fun. Like I was coaching a level of rugby that was beyond me as a rugby player. And even though the second graders or the dirt trackers sort of thought they were... Thank you. Now, we're under strict instructions not to try and limit our eating and talking, but we've just got nachos and Alfredo turn up, so we're going to have to manage it. Look, yeah, so Don and Bridie, obviously very intense as where they wanted to take the club. And I really enjoyed the second grade stuff. The switch into 2013, I took a back seat. Dave was a mate of mine, came in as coach.
So who's Dave Stewart?
Dave Stewart, Wall came in.
And how did you know Wall?
He's ready. I don't want to say that the Steamers relied on the readies to get their success, but it sort of seems that way.
So just give our listeners a background on who Dave Stewart is, who probably going to be on our list interview later on.
Yep, for sure. So Wall is a Yanko Ag boy who came into the Reddies through the 2000s, which was a very successful period for them. I think they won like seven or eight second grade grand finals. They won a first grade grand final. And they had a phenomenal set of players come through, and Dave was one of them. I think he won the Bill Castle Medal one year.
And the Bill Castle Medal was like
The series best and fairest.
Best in the comp or best on ground?
Best in the comp. I think he won that. And he came in as a very clear-headed coach after Don. So Don had sort of built what the Steamers were and what they stood for. And Dave took over in 2013.
Did you feel the Steamers, when Don had the Steamers, did you feel it was just missing a couple of hit factors?
Because
when I arrived, obviously, popped up the front row. Richard Mannion arrived, who helped popped up the backs. And then Benny Walker arrived, helped popped up that 9 and 10 combination.
Look, I think Don built the club to that thing. There's no doubt about it. Don and Bridie. And then Dave bought that slight X factor with that roll around the corner and motion, keeping the ball in motion. So the way the Reddies play, you know, where it's not as built around the static line out, scrum, kick, sort of static play, which I think Don really focused on, and I think the club was better for it. But Dave sort of added that just X factor. On top of that, he was given like a dozen of the best players in the competition. So, you know, we had the Welsh guys turn up and the uni guys all turned up that one year, and it just became a perfect storm, you know. I think it was just returns. Like, I don't think there's anyone in the club that wouldn't say 2013 in particular was as much Dave Stewart and Steve Stone and Nathan Honeyman as it was Don Cameron and Nathan Bright and the work they'd done for the previous 5 years.
Skip 2013. Yep. We're going to go to 2014. The Steamers were left without a coach. You know, the Steamers had won. You know, they always said that was going to... Well, we're left without a coach, out of sponsor, and then Some yep. people came and he were left without a coach and you decided to put your hand up. What made you put your hand up on that? In 2014.
So I'm not a coach. Let's be crystal clear. All right. I'm not a rugby coach. Yeah, yeah.
We all knew that.
I'm more a
poetry man.
I do a bit of poetry every now and then, but I'm more a people manager. Like, I get on with the guys. I can manage, you know, the relationships to a fair degree. And I like the guys. So I liked yourself and Bridie and Mannion and the guys within the club that were still there, like Liam Krauts, and they're good guys, you know. They're a lot younger than me, but I enjoyed their company. So I was happy to be involved with that. And even though I think the club had lost about 8 of their first grade from 2013, I thought that's not
terribly bad.
7 or 8 that were left, yeah, were still quality players, you know. So I sort of look forward to it. I think one of the tipping points was I did go to Nathan Bright early and said, look, I want you to be captain, but whether you want to keep playing or not, because he was, I think he was 74 by that point.
Yeah, I think he had enough.
He did won his premiership. He'd sort of gone, you know, and that's a lot of energy, a lot of work. I sort of thought...
But we needed guys like him, though, eh?
We needed guys like him. And then he turned around at about February and said he would do it. And that gave us a big kick along, you know. Like, we already had Richie, we had Shishko, we had Cole Hogan, you know. Yeah. And then we had... So we had a bit of grunt in there. We had guys that knew what was needed. But to have your skip come back was a big thing. Year didn't quite pan out. It was one pass away from panning out.
But that was a good year because, I don't know if I can remember. Sorry, we're eating here at the same time. We were sitting like 6th on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then we went to Leek and then we lost to the bottom team on the comp.
So we had... I think we had a bunch of guys away. Oh, we lost a few games here and there. We lost to the Reddies. We lost to... we'd beaten Waratahs early on, I think.
Yeah, round one. We beat round Waratahs. One.
That was after a pep talk from Mick McGlone.
Yeah.
I might add. So we'd lost a few games. It was... We were hanging in there. And the two teams that were hanging in there were us and Griffith, funnily enough. Because they split the draw, and I think everyone was looking, not so much at us, but they were looking at Griffith going, we hope Griffith doesn't make the top half of the draw, because then they would have Marika Van and Barker and Dan Rawaka, these super rugby players. And we both managed to squeeze into the top half of the draw. There were some great games in that run through the finals, though. Like, that was a phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, there were some great times. And one of those pep talks he gave the team that year was poetry I remember coming out of you. You know, and there was the old man in the arena. We used to stop at Mega Bar and you used to...
So coming into the finals, you sort of think there's nothing you can really say. Like, the club, the players have already done it. They've already run all their 400 metres, apart from Adam Clements, who ran one short.
Yeah, Adam Clements.
There's not a lot. They're already motivated. They're already got nervous energy. So I thought I threw the cards up in the air and thought I'd try something different. So I did some homework on the man in the arena, which is an excerpt from a speech by an American president, and that basically the gist of it is it's not about the viewer, it's not about the audience, it's not about the people commenting on the performance, it's about the person playing the sport or whatever it is out in the middle that really matters. So I printed that out on the cards and read it out to the players, and I think a few of the players still have those cards. I think you might still have yours.
Still got that black. And that was the year that Bridie wrote a Bible.
There was too. We got the Bible as well.
Right, our skipper wrote a Bible on each player.
Yeah, that's and that sort of stuff. It means a lot. Like, and I don't know if it means as much at the time as it does years down the track. We can have this sort of conversation about it. You know.
Yeah, but I think he wrote a Bible and he gave it to every player. Every player had a page of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so skip to the old game day. We were playing up against one of the teams that had like former Super Rugby players, former international players, and
arm guards. Do you remember they had those? Like every single Griffith player had an arm guard on it, which was half an inch thick.
Yeah,
they didn't have anything wrong with their arms, but it was like an iron bar.
But we were, you know, underdogs. We came through the back door to get into the finals.
We'll have to talk about that Waratahs game one day.
Yeah, we will.
That's a podcast in itself.
But we went into the grand final and we went up against Griffith, who were like number one contenders, only for us to be pulled back on a forward pass to take that win.
Yeah.
Which most people would say, it's juvenile. It was a forward pass. It was. Nah. What do you think?
Well, I was running onto the field to give Paul Dean an earful about calling the forward pass. And I ran past Richie Mannion. He goes, mate, it was a metre forward. And I went, oh, okay. So I ran in a different direction. I think all I thought at the end of the game was how proud I was. Like we played that season. We didn't have many reserves. So the year previous, 2013, we had a whole team. By 2014, we were really stuck. And things like Liam Crouch played in the centres for the last four or five games. And everyone was giving us an earful about it, saying he's got to be on the side of the scrum, but we were stuck. Yeah. We needed someone to hold up defence.
And Mr. Versatile.
And he did it for us. He didn't complain, he didn't whinge, he just said, yeah, I'll do it. And he...
Skip to 2000, we lost that one. 2015, the dream year for you.
Look...
Do we call it a dream year or what?
It's another podcast. It's...
2015, we call it a dream year. Well, you didn't actually coach, did you?
No, not. I'm happy to say I wasn't a coach. Not a coach in the strictest sense. Like, if you look at Paul Massara, he's a coach. So he coaches skills, he coaches the minutiae of the game. Whereas I'm more managing people. I assume their abilities already. In 2015... it was really about managing 17 guys through the year. It was very enjoyable, very stressful. The end of the year became stressful. You know, we had to... We pumped Leeton to get into the grand final, 88-0.
At home.
But to get into the grand final itself was... it wasn't... and I think Dave Stewart said similar stuff about 2013. It wasn't necessarily that enjoyable. It was more you had to get the job done. And having Waratahs put a couple of tries on us, it just sort of adds to the anxiety.
We're just going to do a quick wrap up here.
We've got other... we can talk about this sort of stuff forever.
We can go forever, but I'd just like to thank... Nick Rains for your time.
No, thank you, mate. We'll be right. I think we should ask people who they want us to interview.
Yeah.
Where they want us to go. Like, we're going to hopefully very soon interview
Harrington.
Tom Harrington to find out what his plan is for the club, what he's thinking, what his hopes are. A new coach? I don't know the new coach's name. You know?
No, neither actually. Sorry. Oh, no. Sorry, we're bad on that.
Isn't he? Is he a Kiwi?
Yeah, he's a New Zealander.
So. Don't you guys know each other? Or know each other?
We should do.
He's probably cousins. So we'll get Tom in, and we'll kick off from there and interview old boys, and maybe do a few after match chats.
So just before we tap out of here, we'd just like to thank our major sponsors, the Harvest Group.
The Harvest Group, Brady's Hotel. We're We're sitting in our podcast lounge, which they've created for us.
If you're looking for a cold beverage to dinner, come on down.
Yep. All right. No worries. And until we'll chat soon.
All right, mate.
Cheers, mate.